Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. And my name is Chip the Block. I'm your host for a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him. I know he's a crowd favorite. We've got Scott Steyard on the show, retired Green Beret, former Delta Force operative. And he's living the dream right now. I can never keep up with you, Scott. You know, Wyoming, you know, and Colorado. You're in Colorado right now, currently. Is that right? All right. I love it. I love it. So, of course, we've got, you know, Chief Chris Knowles there in Pueblo and some other guys. So MVS, who watches our show over on Rumble, he's over in Northwest Colorado. So thanks for being on the show, Scott. Scott's also with Aero Precision at aeroprecision.com as well. Hey, a shout out to our satellites. Well, I start off with our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, they've given us that 15% off discount code. It's Radio15. So if you guys want a hookup, I'm giving it to you right now. Gauls.com is the website. You can buy anything but guns and ammo. And if you want to get 15% off your next purchase, type in Radio15 in order to get 15% off. It works on most items. We've also got ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, you guys are aware, Monday was our last day on satellite with Westwood One, which is for radio stations, and we're looking to make the transition to Sirius XM, which would still be satellite, so we'll keep you guys informed on that. We've actually have picked up some really cool radio stations along the way. A shout-out to Joe Spera, our former radio syndicator. You know, if people want to know what happened with the satellite, you know, we were paying about $2,000 a month to have the show on satellite for radio stations, and we only picked up one or two stations over the last year doing that. So 24K, one or two radio stations, not cost productive. So that's why we're leaning towards the Sirius XM model. But we are on 47 stations right now. We just picked up a 100,000 watt station that's carrying us 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So that's going great, you know. So the only difference between being on satellite and doing it, giving them the show another way, like maybe FTP or Dropbox, it just means that they're not going to be carrying the show the same day. They'll be carrying like yesterday's show. So not that big of a deal. Also, we've got gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, safeguard recruiting, and twobells.com that built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. So if you guys want some cool gear, like the mug behind me, hat, shirts, and we even have dry fit clothing too. We've got and Scott knows, we've got a long sleeve dry fit shirt, and Scott says leoroundtable.com on the sleeve. It's got a American flag on the back in black and white with a blue thin blue line down the middle of it, and it's got our logo. It's a great looking, you know, it's like a when you surf and you wear the shirt underneath the shirt, a rash guard. It's like a rash guard. So check that out at leoroundtable.com. Upper right corner, we got our store. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying the content. We also have Ray Dietrich with formerlawman.com and Travis Shates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And guys, we are on if it's podcast, we're on it. But we're especially on Spotify, Apple iTunes, which are two of the most popular. We're on radio, social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, True Social. Go to leoroundtable.com, and it'll tell you every outlet that we're on, the dates, the times, all that stuff. So check that out. Now, the Whet the Appetite, One of the World, or Scott and I are going to be talking about today. And Scott, we can take this out of order. You know, I always cover this Wallet Hub crap because they say the best and worst states to be a police officer for 2026. Scott, it comes out every year. And when you read it, it makes a little bit of sense there, how they choose it. But when you put California as the number one spot to be a cop, you know something's wrong, right? I mean, California's number one. That's where they think the cops need to go work at. The state of California.
When I saw that, and knowing many, many law enforcement officers in the state of California.
You probably trained half of them.
Yeah, I've trained a lot of them. And I tell you, I mean, it's almost like, is this propaganda? Is this some kind of, like, I thought maybe they're being paid, or, you know, and I know they're hurting. Because they're way understaffed. Why?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be a cop in California. It's like most people I talk now. Yeah, the pay is good. You know, there's, you know, obviously.
Well, hold that thought. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm just kind of like wetting the appetite. You picked up on the flag away. The other main story that we have is the would-be Trump killer. He gets red carpet treatment from a D.C. judge, if you can believe that. Now that's been on the news cycle. Most people probably heard about that. And then we've got another one. After protecting Trump, Secret Service officer arrested for pleasuring himself naked in front of a female hotel guest. That's plural, actually. We're going to talk about that. Then body cam shows gunfire injury in a Texas, a CRU, he's a civilian. It's a civilian response unit specialist, but this dude's former military and got a Purple Heart previously. And they're in a gunfight with a dude with a BB pellet rifle. It's just, Scott, I can't wait to get your commentary on this. Then we got a guy armed with a box cutter, fatally shot by Bradley police officers. We have a midair nightmare ends in Florida. Of course, it's giving people in Florida a bad name, but at least he's a French dude, so you can't blame it all on Florida. This French dude on a plane is next to a female passenger that's sleeping, and he's freaking groping her, and she's sleeping through it. She doesn't even know what happened until she wakes up and passengers and stewardesses are telling her, and then she breaks down. It's just crazy. Then we got Baltimore PD releasing body cam. It's a shooting of a 35-year-old. We've got top D.C. police officials. They're going to be maybe fired because they've been playing around with the crime data. Man with a 13-inch kitchen knife at a New York City grocery store. He's building this thing before the police shoot him. And then New Mexico City is paying $6.5 million in a fatal shooting of a guy during a mental health call. So that's the stuff that we're looking at right now. So I'll tell you what, Scott, let's cover the first two main stories, if that's okay. We got almost 5.5 minutes and then we'll kind of figure it out from there. So I hinted at it, best and worst states to be a police officer in 2026. So like I said, I'm looking at a map here and California is number one. It looks like Connecticut is number two. And when I think of Connecticut, that was the ones that wanted, like when you talk about use of force criteria and stuff, like we all know California is they work off the necessary standard. You know, we have the reasonable standard over here in the states that have common sense. So whatever is reasonable, but they have a necessary standard, which means you pretty much have to exhaust every less lethal, non-lethal means before you can put a bullet in a bad guy. And then Connecticut, I remember they're famous for 2020 hindsight. So most agencies and states, they view whether your shoot is justified or not based on the information you had available at the time. Connecticut wanted to go to a 2020 hindsight, which means that if they became aware of information after the fact, I'll give you an example. Let's say that you found it after the fact the guy had a BB gun. Or maybe the gun wasn't loaded, or maybe it wasn't a real gun, or maybe it was like the slide was locked back or something. It wasn't fully operational or whatever. No firing pin. They would use that against you if you used lethal force against the guy, and they would want to fire you or put you in jail, that kind of crap. And they've got the state of Illinois is rated number three. Now, Florida, where I'm at, where we've got Governor Ron DeSantis, need I say more? We're ranked at 24. Now, guys, there's only 50. There's only 50 states, you know, and they've got 51 here. So I know they got Alaska and stuff. So they've got the Virgin Islands or something in here somewhere, but they got, I'm looking at the count of places and they got like 51, maybe they're using DC. Anyhow, we're about halfway down the list. And let me just see Colorado. Wow. You guys are number six. But you guys have got a little liberal thing going on there, too. So and just to kind of read through some of the stuff, the Justice Department and some local police departments have implemented policy changes. They're banning chokeholds, restricting the use of no-knock warrants in certain situations. So these are the things they want you to know they're taking it into account when they're picking out where they work at. So like I said, it sounds good so far. While some officers have failed to uphold their responsibilities, so they're talking about bad cops now. That's a flag. Many others risk their lives every day. How about saying like almost the majority of others risk their lives every day to protect the public? Policing is significantly more dangerous than many other occupations, which makes it more important for agencies to provide strong incentives to attract and retain qualified officers. Currently, the profession offers a mean annual wage of about $77,270, so about 77 grand, but that's the mean. So it doesn't mean entry-level officers are not making that much money as a mean. It's talking about places like New York and California where they have to elevate the cost because of the cost of living. So even though 77 grand sounds like a lot, That's the mean. They're taking into account police chiefs making 200 grand, you know, that kind of stuff. And they have benefit packages, it says, too, that include retirement contribution matches, tuition, leave policies, take-home cars, access to health and fitness facilities, yada, yada. Compensation and working conditions, however, vary widely by location. Agreed. Officers are more likely to be drawn to departments that maintain transparency with their communities and avoid issues related to scandal or corruption. I partially believe that. The whole transparency thing, I don't agree with that, because, you know, you get carried away with that. To identify the best states, here we go. For pursuing a career in law enforcement, WalletHub compared the 50 states and the District of Columbia across 30 key indicators of police friendliness. So they're basing this on police friendliness. These metrics range from the median income for law enforcement officers to police deaths per 1,000 officers and state and local spending on police protection per capita. And so that's pretty. And then they got some analyst, Chip Lupo, WalletHub analyst, kind of like taking up for how they decided. So yeah, California's number one, Connecticut two, Illinois is three. I'll do the top 10. Maryland four, DC. We got an article about DC fabricating crime stats, and they're going to be firing a lot of people. They're number five. Colorado, where Scott's at, is six. Minnesota seven, Minneapolis. Washington State, where our Chief Kreider is, and they're whacked out with their gun laws. They're eight. We got Tennessee nine, and Ohio is 10. And of course, I already said my state, Florida, is 24. Scott Steyer, 42 seconds.
Oh, it's obviously this person has no clue what, like, it has no real world experience of being a cop or understanding what police do. This is all based on a very lopsided view of a policy that is very liberal and very woke, that really just endangers law enforcement every day. It's like it makes their job harder to do. And this is like in the 5.5 years I spent training law enforcement, the top five are the states that I hear most people complaining about because they can't.
You're right. Commercial break. We'll be right back, guys.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Gall's, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Scott Steyer, former Green Beret Delta Force operative, and we've been talking about an article on a site called wallethub.com. Comes out every year. This is the best and worst states to be a police officer for the year 2026. Their opinion, at least anyhow, not Scott's, obviously. Any more words on this, or are you ready to move on?
No, Scott? It's almost comical. That's all. I think. I just view this as a propaganda hit piece, and that's pretty much how I see it.
But we have to slam them. You know what? I kind of feel like a need to slam them because, you know, you don't want people to make poor decisions based off of crap like this, and this is bad information. So I don't want cops going to California, and then because they don't abide by the necessary standard, they end up shooting and killing a guy to save their life or someone else's life, which they had to do, but they didn't use a taser, or they didn't run the car, yeah, and they didn't have time to get the foam round out on the less lethal or something from the shotgun, and now they're in a jail cell. You know, they don't get this stuff, you know.
No,
and that's
no.
Probably the most important issue. Not it's not pay, it's not benefits, it's working in a state where you know the agency and the laws there are going to back you up. So
yeah, this just goes to show or prove the point. Before you know, you have to look at the source of the information. I mean, you always go to the source and find out. And like, is it someone who knows what they're actually talking about? Do they have an ulterior motive for what they're saying? But yeah.
So Chip Lupo, WalletHub analyst, that's quoted in the article. I'm sure you're a great guy. but putting out this information, you guys, your algorithm is flawed. You are giving out bad information to would-be cops or current cops. And if you watch the show, we will help educate you on that. But it is definitely flawed. And people listening to your information might go only California. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of what the pay. Of course, higher pay there, but it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The cost of living is higher, so it's not like your living is going to be any better. But guess what? I don't care how much money you're making when you're sitting in a jail cell for doing your job. It doesn't make a difference, does it? You know, who cares? So, all right, Wallet Hub. One down, and let's see our next main story. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper, guys. RVMnews.com. Would-be Trump killer gets red carpet treatment from a DC judge. So I don't want to say the bad guy's name. And the other day I screwed up. I gave like the first name and then I caught myself on the back. So this guy, it starts off for an incredible display of misplaced compassion. Judge Zia Faruqui issued an apology to our bad guy, the would-be Trump assassin from the White House Correspondents' Dinner. This guy accused of attempting to assassinate President Donald Trump. And the judge got compassionate about what he called treatment that this bad guy was enduring in jail. The exchange took place on Monday during a hearing in the shocking White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting case. Now, this bad guy allegedly opened fire near an event that was packed with political figures and journalists. And, of course, we know a Secret Service guy was shot, and he was placed on suicide watch following his arrest. Now, instead of prioritizing justice for a man who nearly turned a political dinner into a national tragedy, the judge for Q, it kind of like sounds like a name that would be in, what do you call the for Q? What's that green guy that, that's an animated series,
Shrek?
Shrek, yeah.
Shrek, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like it would be like in a Shrek movie, doesn't it? I mean, Judge Faruqui, it's probably green.
I love that movie, by the way. Yeah,
I love that movie. Good soundtrack, man. Good soundtrack. Yeah. Judge Faruqui decided the real problem was how the suspect feels behind bars. So according to Fox News correspondent Mike Emanuel, the judge apologizes to the suspect for the treatment that he's received so far. The single sentence or that single sentence reveals a broader and deeper troubling issue. Federal judges seemingly more concerned with coddling suspects accused of violent crimes other than supporting the victims or actually protecting the public. And to put this into perspective, according to an article, the same judicial system has watched hundreds of January 6 defendants treated like hardened criminals. They have been locked in isolation, denied medical care, mocked by prosecutors. But when the target of potential violence is Donald Trump, suddenly the concern shifts to whether the accused assassin is comfortable in his holding cell. The irony is astounding. Now, this is at RVM. RedVoiceMediaNews.com, and I love the site. I love the commentary. Scott Steyer.
When is this going to start to shift the other way? This is ridiculous. There's no way. Now, I'm sure the majority of people in that district probably agree with the judge, just because I would assume. But it's like you wonder why these states are so have so much crime. They're so lax on crime. It's just suicidal empathy that the woke and as a whole have towards criminals. It's like they say that the opposite of logic is empathy, right? Like if you have, I'm using the wrong term here, but it's like, where is the logic in this? You know, it's like,
right.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, this is a criminal who would try to kill the president of the United States. And you feel sorry for him. It's like, and it has to be politically driven. It's crazy. It's crazy. I thought justice was blind. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I don't know. No. I don't know. It's just, it's disheartening. It really is. I don't know.
I agree. It's
sad. Very sad.
Well, great, great commentary. I know we got a little over a minute here, and I'm checking. Betty Dunn is on from, looks like she's on Facebook. So welcome to the show, Betty Dunn, Bill BC, thanks for watching the show. We appreciate it over there on Rumble. Guys, moving on. Scott, I'm going to let you help pick the topics here. On an update, we can talk about the Secret Service dude. Well, the first two stories are guys that are doing some manly stuff, but it's not necessarily good manly stuff. So we got the Secret Service agent that was like doing some stuff in front of some women. And then we've got What was the other one here? Oh, I know. It's the Midair Nightmare Ends in Florida. We got the French passenger groping the sleeping woman. We've got DC police that are the crime data thing. And then we've got New Mexico City paying that $6.5 million for the shooting of the mental health call.
I mean, honestly, they're all good. I mean, you have to wonder, like, when you start talking about the Secret Service guy who's masturbating in public.
Like, yeah, well, he was pleasuring himself, is what we'll say. But okay. Well, no, we're good. I mean, it's not one of the seven words, but you know, we'll just we're 12 minutes away. We're saved by the bell. So look, we're gonna go to the Secret Service route. Yeah. Stick with us. It's gonna get really interesting. We'll be right back. All right, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And you know, they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know, Scott knows, I certainly know, I know Scott does, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments, and guess what? No injuries, no deaths. That is like an unheard of stat. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, if you're transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove and ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com and tell them that Chip and Scott sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Green Beret Delta Force operative Scott Steyert, and I whet the appetite with the next story. I'm going to go in and do it again. We just had a commentary from, I think that was Sergeant George. I think he's on YouTube talking about he feels bad for. We have our two Secret Service guys are from Fox News, Rich Scirpoli and Frank Loveridge, and he was talking about them having to cover this. Now they're not. I'm not going to hold this story for them. I'm just going to, you know, it's not, you know. I think this is something that just about anybody can cover. We don't need any Secret Service expertise to discover why this guy was pleasuring himself. But so this is on the libertydaily.com. And Scott, if it's okay with you, we've got two similar stories that I'm going to cover back to back on this before we go to a video. So the libertydaily.com, after protecting Trump, Secret Service officer arrested, pleasuring himself naked in front of female hotel guest. And I'm trying to accentuate the S at the end of that because it's plural, not just one female hotel guest. It's plural female guest. So a U.S. Secret Service agent was arrested on Monday, wow, allegedly exposing himself naked to female hotel guest and pleasuring himself in public view. I'm going to try to pay attention to there's certain words and things I don't want to say, so I'm trying to be careful. John Andrew Spillman. Got to love that last name, Spillman, 33 years old, is a uniform division officer. So yeah, you have uniform division of the Secret Service. So he's a uniform division officer with the federal agency. He had just provided security to President Donald Trump at the weekend PGA tour at Trump's golf course in Doral, Florida. So he's in uniform. So he's not one of these he's not one of these guys in suits with the freaking Ray-Bans and he's got the machine gun under his jacket. That's not him. I don't want to say he's not as important, but he's in the uniform division. He's not in the division that everybody wants to go to. He's all different. Right. So he was arrested shortly after midnight Monday for allegedly pleasuring himself naked on the sixth floor of the DoubleTree Hotel near Miami International Airport. Now police allegedly caught him literally with his pants down in the act, according to the arresting affidavit and reported by Susan Crabtree of Real Clear Politics, as deputies from the Miami-Dade County Sheriff's Office responded. Now, Crabtree reported that a victim told police that she was in the lobby when Spillman allegedly followed her and her and another upstairs and immediately entered a room because she was in fear for their lives. The victim saw the defendant pleasuring himself next to their hotel room, according to the arrest affidavit. Spillman is from Marble Falls, Texas. He had a bail of only $1,000, and he's been he has a hearing scheduled for May the 27th. It's a misdemeanor charge of indecent exposure. He's now on administrative leave pending the outcome of his criminal case and an internal review by federal officers. Now, former U.S. Rep. Jason Chavez of Wisconsin spent years probing the Secret Service as House Oversight Committee chair. He actually told Crabtree that the agency has serious hiring and vetting problems as it deals with the lack of manpower, which is kind of scary. And so kind of explain how this happened. There's a lot of good heroic people there at the Secret Service, but they were advertising for agents and officers, uniform officers, on pizza boxes in Washington, D.C. Yeah. Come join the Secret Service is what they said. And I've met some of those who responded to the pizza box ads, and suddenly they're in the White House with a gun guarding the president. It's that bad. That is freaking scary, dude. Scott, talk to me.
It is. You would think, right, for that organization, for that agency, that should be like at least the one agency where they're like everybody wants to be a part of it because it's such a select group and there's such a tough selection and training process. And yet here we are. I mean, and this is, you know, the unfortunate thing is just is coming off of, you know, the attempt on the president's life. I mean, I don't know. I mean, at what point are they going to be like, hey, we need to like fix this? He'll probably say that it was stress induced and, you know, he'll probably get disability. And, you know, it really depends on like, you know, it's tough. It's a tough job because you get an administration that says like essentially bad guys are okay. You know, let's be nice. And you have, a presidency or an administration that says, hey, bad guys are bad. You know, we're going to treat them. It is just like, it's almost like, you know, people come in and then the way they do business is bad. Go back to this way. It's confusing. Is that, you know, I just feel like there's a lack of consistency. But anyhow, yeah, I mean, who knows? I'd like to know what the heck this guy was thinking. Like what was going on in his head? I mean, why, how does somebody do that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, and he's like, his face is everywhere. I mean, did he not think that he wasn't going to get caught? Did he not think there were cameras?
Sick.
I don't know, man.
Thank God he was just in the uniform division and, you know, I'm sure had more limited access to the president, but I mean, he's just, you know, they didn't really give a timeline on when he was hired and stuff. I'm sure he's just a newbie that's getting weeded out. The system works, you know, but crap, what they had to go through and how they identified this guy as being a bad apple, crap.
I know there's not a perfect system. I get that, you know, it is what it is. I mean, but it's just, again, like, what was he thinking?
Well, I'll tell you what, let's jump over to Swiss International Airlines now, you know, or server. Now we started the new Leo Affairs at leoaffairs.ch and the servers are actually, and they started off being, it was Switzerland. Now it's Sweden is where they're at, but that's fine. Cause the, you know, the company we use, they are rock solid as far as, you know, protecting information, but Swiss International Airlines had an issue the other day. So the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, we have a midair nightmare ending in Florida. French passenger charged with groping a sleeping woman. So a little similar, a 48-year-old French guy is facing federal charges in Florida after authorities say he sexually assaulted now a sleeping woman during a Swiss International Airline flight from Zurich to Miami. And it gives his name, golly, Jalom Sebastian Roger Mattler. He's taken into custody and charged with one count of abusive sexual contact following the incident that happened on Tuesday, April the 28th. Now, the victim is a 29-year-old woman. She was sleeping. It was in first class. She's sleeping in the first class cabin when the assault occurred. Apparently, she slept through it. According to the criminal complaint, witnesses watched as Mattler, our bad guy, allegedly is touching the woman's lower back several times, attempting to make contact to make the contact look accidental. Now, one of the passengers is actually watching this and told investigators they saw him moving his hand in a submarine motion. That doesn't mean in a submarine motion to get under the woman's clothing. So I don't know what that means, Scott. Maybe you can tell me. If you know what it means, it might scare me. But the situation was brought to the attention of a flight attendant who reported seeing the bad guy with his hand on the victim's crotch performing a scooping and rubbing motion over her jeans, so on the outside of her jeans. After confirming that the two were not traveling together, the crew moved Mattler, the bad guy, to economy, you know, on the plane. Now, in a disturbing turn, it says that he was later allowed to return to first class to get some of his personal belongings, and sure enough, he tries to slip the victim a note. The note was written on his business card, told the woman that she looked beautiful or cute while sleeping. The victim did not learn of the encounter until the flight attendant woke her up, told her what had happened, and then she was shocked, started crying and shaking. So she slept through it. When questioned by authorities when they got to Miami, the bad guy initially denied any physical contact. And then when he was told that there were multiple eyewitnesses and there was video evidence, which I wish we had, he allegedly admitted to the touching, stating that he did not think it was such a big deal. He told officials his intention was simply to get the woman's phone number. He's currently being held at the Federal Detention Center in Miami. 2 minutes, Scott.
Yeah.
So he worked it out for you today.
Well, so he didn't think it was a big deal. That's why he was lying until he knew he was caught. And the audacity to go back and give the girl his phone number and think like, I don't understand. I don't get it. Like these people, they have this skewed sense of reality. I mean, how are they brought up? I mean, what are they exposed to? I don't know. I just think it's crazy. It just blows my mind. I'm flabbergasted.
Well, lucky for him, there is a position opening up at the Secret Service office in Washington, D.C. It's a uniform position, but, you know, he may be a good candidate. Scott. Yeah. How about you?
Oh, my God. No kidding.
Wow. So, yeah, I'll tell you, look, we don't make these stories, people. We don't build them. We just fly them. That's from an attorney. Bob McCabe told me that. He says, yeah, we don't build them. We just fly them. So don't blame us for the content of the story. This is what they've given us to work with. And Scott and I think I think that you and I, given what we have to work with, Scott, I think that we're pulling it off. So,
yeah.
So
they say truth is stranger than fiction. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, we got Betty Dunn weighing in saying that recruits should be hired under a magnifying glasses. Totally agree. And then goes on to say that the world is full of wackos. And that's all I have to say about both the Secret Service agent that was, well, I can't even say. Oh, that was George that wrote that. Okay. I can't say that on, yeah, FCC. Scott will probably say it, but no, anyhow. So that's where we're at. So, well, we got 19 seconds. Let me whet the appetite for the next story. It's a wild video. Body cam shows gunfire injuring a Texas CRU, a civilian who helped a woman to safety after he shot. You guys aren't going to believe this. Stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, GunLearn is the first and the only company to offer that step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, this is where it changes. Now, they've got a new deal going. So if you've actually obtained that certified firearm specialist, now they partner with Smarter Degree. And through Smarter Degree and the university partners is actually worth college credits. Even if you got it 5 years ago, you've got those college credits now that'll help you out. And of course, they provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings. And they've been doing this since 1996. They've been teaching everything that Leos and, you know, law enforcement officers need to know involving firearms and also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. You can start today with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Awesome opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by the former Green Beret Delta Force operative, Scott Steyer. So thanks so much for being on the show, Scott. And dude, we've got the topics for you today. You're getting your workout, and you're really going to get your workout on this next one, Scott. So there is a video of Scott. And I spent a lot of time on this. I'm just looking at my show notes on this. It's just ridiculous. So we're going to go through, we're going to spend some time. We may end up closing the show out talking about this because there's a lot to talk about. When you guys watch tomorrow's version of the show, a version of the live show will come out tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on a Rumble channel at rumble.com. Look up, you know, Leo Roundtable, and producer will have this video embedded into that. And you guys aren't going to believe it. So, body cam shows gunfire injuring a Texas CRU specialist who helped the woman to safety after being shot.
You have the video of that, or maybe I can get a plate or something off that, or at least a description of the vehicle. Yeah, good time.
Oh, God, what the f*** was that? Oh,
good job. God. Get over here. Come back. CRU 122. Need officers at my location. Just got took a shot to the face. If I can get an officer over here now. Shots fired. Shots fired. Black.
What's this house number? Frank 510, I'm going to move again to the north and try to extract the shot, officer. Forward, please! Frank 510, I'm at the door, trying to get to our person. I need him.
What's the address?
Where's he at? Where's he at? Let me see your hands. Back up and get cover. Shots fired. Shots fired.
Let's go. Rescue, rescue, rescue. Yeah. No, stay in the house. Close the door. Move, 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 move.
I'm moving. I'm moving. I'm moving.
So this is at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. So we're in Fort Worth, Texas, and it's a they released this body cam showing the moment a community response unit specialist, so he's a CRU specialist, and he ends up being shot. It happened as Edward Zapata responded to a home to take a report about a burglary that had happened days before. So what that tells me is that Edward Zapata is a civilian, although he's former military, he's a civilian employee for the Fort Worth Police Department, and he's doing delayed calls. This is a delayed burglary, so no need to send a marked unit out there. It's not like a burglary in progress or anything, right? In the threat level for going to a delayed call like this, it should be relatively low, should be. So the video shows our CRU specialist, Edward Zapata, falling to the ground after being struck in the left eye on April the 20th while at work, just after 12:30 p.m. So it's in the middle of the afternoon. And actually, he's talking with the complainant. It didn't actually happen like that. He's talking with the complainant, and you hear a sound. It's actually I've had BB and pellet guns. I've had BB pellet rifles. And look, these suckers can go 300, 450 feet a second. You know, they're hauling butt. And it could be a BB or these pellets, which are like a soft lead, kind of easy to manipulate. You know, I mean, when they hit stuff, they flatten out and stuff. So you hear it, and he starts grabbing her. He doesn't go down, but he says he goes on radio and says, "I've been shot in the face." But his total concern was getting the woman around the corner of the house. They're out in the front yard, and he gets her around the corner of the house. And then it appears, I hear that same kind of sound again, Scott. And then he does go down. And then I'm seeing all the blood, and he's still trying to get the woman over this wooden fence and trying to get her out of the way. And he's calm, cool, collected, but he's freaking bleeding. But then he says he got shot in the left eye. And so I think that there were two shots. Maybe you picked up more than I did, but he's dealing with all this stuff. There's blood everywhere. So the chief of the Fort Worth Police Department confirmed the suspect identified as 39-year-old Angel Cantu, that he was using a pellet gun during the shooting. We later find out it's a rifle. Despite the injury, the video shows Zapata, our civilian employee, bleeding as he's helping the woman climb over a wooden fence of safety. And he even starts to go over the fence himself. He's just trying to see. There's blood everywhere. And you know, when you're bleeding, it gets, Scott knows, things just get extremely slippery. It's very hard. Dude, if you're not careful and you're walking on a bloody surface, you're going down. I mean, it's that slippery. And right when he's on the top of the fence trying to go over it to get away, you hear the cavalry coming in, the siren. So I think that's why he jumped back on the outside of it. Police said that other officers engaged in the shootout with Cantu, or bad guy, who had already fired at Zapata. Cantu fled the scene, prompting an hours-long search involving canine units, dozens of officers, and a police helicopter. There is a shootout that's going on with Cantu. I'll let Scott cover that. Body cam shows officers eventually arresting Cantu around 5:30 p.m. Now, remember, this happened, around 12:30, I believe. 12:30. So we're talking like 5 hours later, they get the guy, for 5 hours. Jail records show that he faces three counts of aggravated battery on a public servant. Additional body cam shows police calling for an extraction team. When they locate the officer, he's inside of the house now with his injured eye. So Fort Worth cops, they go there. They show officers rescuing him, getting him out of there, taking him to the hospital. He was released from the hospital on May the 1st. And fellow officers and team members lined up outside the emergency room to cheer him on. So it says, I'm trying to find the date again of this thing when it went down. He comes out on the first, oh, this happened on April the 28th. So there's only 30 days. So this is about 3 days in the hospital, I guess, is what he was in for. And it says that he's a former Marine, a Purple Heart recipient. He had been working on the street as a CRU specialist for only 2 weeks at the time this went down. The extent of his injury remains unknown, but they say that he has to go through a second eye surgery scheduled this week, and that Fort Worth PD, and I'm going to tell you guys how to donate money, so be ready to write it down, but the PD, Family and Wellness, they started a recovery fundraiser called Help a Hero. They're trying to raise $5,000 for Edward Zapata. So Scott Steyer, the floor is yours. 4 minutes, 7 seconds.
Well, first off, kudos to this kid. I call him a kid. How old was he? I don't even think he was that green, but he's probably not a kid.
This young man,
you know, he was out there. It sounds like maybe volunteer status, or, you know, just kind of like, you know, helping out, maybe with the hope of one day getting on with the police force. But anyhow, kudos to him. Like, the whole time he was very calm. He was, he didn't get worked up. He was helping the lady. And even after he was shot, the whole time, and when he's dumping blood out of which when something like that happens, it's not necessarily, you know, the first thing you'll think about is the pain and everything. But when you see the blood and you know it's your eye and you know it's your head, like, you know, you start thinking, am I going to be blind? You know, and so, but still, he maintained this cool, calm demeanor about him. He helped the lady over the fence to get her protected first. I mean, the guy did a great job. Okay. So kudos to him. Then there, you know, a lot was going on there, but the one cop that comes in there and he's behind his cruiser, and he is the opposite of this guy. He is in pure panic mode. He gets shot at, I guess, or sees a gun. I don't know if he was shot at or not, with a pellet gun, which can kill you, and if not, you know, obviously injure you. But he loses his mind. He's trying to get his rifle out of the back of the car, which, in my opinion, should never be there in the first place. Why do you even have it if it's locked in the back of your car inside a bag? So he's trying to, and then he drops it. He goes into pure panic mode. And then he just pulls out his pistol, dumps his mag, shooting through his car, which, what happened to being accountable for your shots? What happened to being accountable to where every bullet you shoot as a law enforcement agent? He's shooting in a neighborhood. It just blows my mind. So you have this young man who's not even a law enforcement officer. He's super calm under the conditions. His eye is probably, you know, he might be blind. He doesn't know what's going on. And you have this trained cop, you know, who's in pure panic mode. My God, they need to really look at that. Go back and do some extra training. Like, they need to look hard at this and with an AR. But, you know, he should have had his AR out. I mean, again, I understand there's policies for that. So maybe that wasn't his fault. But the fact that he dropped it under panic, under stress, this guy obviously does not train under stress. He's not, you know, inoculated to stress. He does not incorporate that in the training. And it seems like he was more concerned with his self-welfare and his health, you know, and his own safety than that of the safety of the public and the people around him. To me, that was a total disgrace, man, an embarrassment, just a total embarrassment.
Wow. Yeah. That was, you know, I look at the, at where these long guns are at, and Scott, I know I want the long gun. These guys are driving, SUVs. I want it up there. You know, in the cockpit is what I call it, of the cruiser. It needs to be available to these guys. This cop, not only he took, I believe, you know, I heard the same sound of this pellet being fired. I mean, look, it's coming from a rifle. It's cruising probably 350, 400 feet a second at least. And he goes to the rear. Now he's got to pop the hatch on the back of the SUV. And then he's got a metal box that at least he didn't have to friggin' punch a code in the, but he had to open it up, and the rifle. So we're still not the rifle yet, because now the rifle is in there, but it's in a cloth case with a zippered in, and he's got to take that out. So it's still not ready to go. And as he takes it out, there's a, I believe, another round that comes in. So he, so he's in a battle with a dude with a rifle, and now he goes pistol mode, and he's behind cover. I was, and I know we're going a little overtime here, but I was just dumbfounded that he didn't commit himself to going with the one weapon that could provide a at least a lethal response, which is what he needed, and he abandoned it. But he ended up going to it eventually. After he blew out the rear window of the side of his
after he feet. Dumped his whole magazine and he didn't even aim the gun. I mean, they need to be held accountable for that. That is crazy. And maybe when cops are held accountable for their actions as far as like how they shoot like that, maybe they'll go back and they'll be and the command will have to force to get the training that they need that obviously they're lacking.
They may not be doing stressful training, and that might be why. But hey, we are out of time. Scott Steyer, thank you so much, Scott. Fantastic breakdown, perfect stories for you. The Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Also want to mention galls.com, compliantechnologies.com, gunlearn.com, mymedicare.life, safewayrecruiting.com, and twobells.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.